Okay, and today I would like to continue how to contemplate feelings. As I have said, there are three types of feelings: pleasant feelings, unpleasant feeling, and neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And when pleasant feeling arises in the mind, and if we are not aware of it, then this pleasant feeling will trigger craving. Vedana pachaya tanha. The pleasant feeling will trigger craving or will condition craving to arise. And if there is unpleasant feeling that arises, and if we are not aware of it, we are not mindful of it, then this unpleasant feeling will trigger agitation, irritation, or anger, annoyance. And if we experience neither pleasant nor unpleasant feelings, and if we are not mindful of it, and this neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling will trigger ignorance. We will think there's no feeling. There's no feeling at all. According to Abhidhamma, you cannot find a time that is no feeling. Only trees, flowers, mountain, ocean, they have no feelings. As long as we are human beings, the feelings occur all the times. But once at a time, either pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling, when there's no pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling, then the mind, the feeling is neutral. We call neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So we must also aware of it. Otherwise, the mind is at an ignorant state. If you think there's no feeling. So feeling is universal mental factors. According to Abhidhamma, it must be accompanied with all consciousness, no matter when. So these three types of feeling trigger three types of defilements: craving, anger, and ignorance. And this type of, we call it defilement of mind. Therefore, a lapse of mindfulness, then we develop craving, we develop aversion, we develop ignorance. This to show how important to have mindfulness, sati, when you experience pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Okay, so when feeling arises in your mind, you are mindful of it. You know, oh, pleasant feeling has arisen. You are mindful of it. The second step you should do is to investigate why this pleasant feeling arises in the mind. For example, when you enter into kitchen, and the eyes come into contact with food, variety of food, and pleasant feeling arises in the mind. So what caused the pleasant feeling to arise in the mind? Eye contact, right? Because I come to contact with the, come to see the food, variety of food, various food. So because of eye contact, then pleasant feeling arises in the mind. So eye contact is one of the causes. Then the second cause is the food itself, the object. We call visible object. The eye come to contact with visible object. Without visible object, I sees nothing, then there's no pleasant feeling. Because of visible object, pleasant visible object or agreeable visible object come to contact with the eye, that cause pleasant feeling to arise. Therefore, eye contact is one factor, one cause, visible object. And also eye faculty also. Like blind person cannot see anything. That's why when his eye cannot function, Therefore, there's no pleasant feeling can arise through his eye door, through his eye door. Okay, so when the eye come to contact with delicious, pleasant, agreeable food, even though the food has not yet touched the tongue, the pleasant feeling has already arisen. When you actually stretch your hand and take the food, when the food touches the tongue, do you have pleasant feeling? Yes. So what caused that pleasant feeling to arise? Tongue contact, right? Tongue contact, as well as delicious food, as well as your tongue faculty. No tongue, then there's no pleasant feeling can arise from the taste. So, first step, for contemplation of feeling, the first step, you have to arouse your mindfulness first, to aware of the arising of either pleasant or unpleasant feeling, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And yesterday, I have said already, how should you mindful? You contemplate pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling, pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling. But this itself is not enough. You have to investigate what causes feeling to arise. So through investigation, because of eye contact, because of tongue contact, or when somebody praise you, then pleasant feeling arises because of ear contact with the agreeable sound. Then you should contemplate, contact is the cause, feeling is the effect. Contact is the cause, feeling is the effect. Why should we contemplate cause and effect? For what reason? Yes, correct. In order to understand, in order to realize non-self nature of feeling itself. It will contemplate, feeling arise due to causes, because of eye contact, because of tongue contact, because of ear contact, then feeling, pleasant feeling arises. Then we understand when this contact disappeared, the feeling will also pass away. If feeling passed away, then feeling is not self, right? If feeling were self, when your pleasant feeling passes away, you yourself also will die together with the feeling. But we are still alive. So this shows that feeling is not myself. If feeling were self, when feeling passes away, when eye contact passes away, then I also should die together with pleasant feeling. This simply to tell us feeling is not a self. Then what is feeling? It's just an effect of a cause. It's just an effect of certain causes. Contact is the cause, object is the cause. Attention also cause, and so on. Therefore, it's very important for yogis to discern cause and effect. If you don't discern cause and effect, you will get caught in the perception, it will get caught with the doubt of self. Just like Venerable Channa. Venerable Channa, when Prince Siddhartha announced the world, Venerable Channa is the only person follow him. So when Buddha passed away, after Prince Siddhartha become enlightened, then Venerable Channa also become monk. But he was very conceited. He thought, when Prince Siddhartha announced the word, I am the only one who accompanied him. And I'm his playmate. So when he ordained, he became very conceited. He didn't respect the senior monk. He didn't respect the senior monk. He didn't practice the Dhamma diligently. So all of Sakyan, Sakyan's relatives already enlightened and become arahant, except Channa alone. Why? Because of his conceited, very conceited person. So then the Buddha know, after I die, he will become Arahant. So let him be. Somebody have to learn from bitter lesson, right? So let him be. Buddha also know he's very conceited, but Buddha also say, okay, let him be. But when I die, he will become Arahant. So Buddha, one day before Buddha passed away, and Buddha give a very serious punishment to Channa, owing to his conceit. Buddha asked all the Sangha, no need to talk to him, treat Channa as dead person. No need to talk to him, no need to walk with him, let him be alone by a dead person. Then Buddha passed away. When Channa received this punishment, he had strong sense of urgency. How come the Buddha give me such a serious punishment? If all the monks will not talk to me, will not walk with me, will not eat with me, then what is my life as a monk? And because of that, he has very strong sense of urgency. And because of that, he practiced very diligently. And one day, when he is meditating, a doubt arise in him. He said that, Buddha said that, the senior monk of Buddha said that, okay, five aggregates are impermanent. Five aggregates are non-self. He has doubt about this non-self. If five aggregates are non-self, who am I here, sitting here meditating? I think you also will have the same question, right? Who am I here? Who am I sitting here meditating? So this doubt arises in him and obsess his mind. He becomes even more restless. And finally, he thinks that, who can help me? And he thinks of Ananda. Ananda has listened all Buddha's preaching. So he knows every detail of Buddha's teaching. And at that time, Ananda has already become Arahant, I guess. Already become Arahant. So he approached Ananda. Then Ananda preached him the Dhamma. Then according to commentary, why Venerable Channa has doubt about non-self? He has doubt about the teaching of non-self simply because he did not discern cause and effect. Just now I mentioned, after you mindful of arising of pleasant and unpleasant feeling, the second step you have to discern cause and effect. If you do not discern cause and effect, you will also behave like Channa. Finally, you will have this doubt of self or non-self, doubt of non-self. You think, I am the self, I am sitting here. Why Buddha say non-self? If non-self, who am I? Simply because Channa did not discern cause and effect. Or we call it dependent origination. Every day we chant dependent origination just to help you to understand non-self nature of all formations. Then the Venerable Ananda preached him about dependent origination. Then he become Arahant. Venerable Channa become Arahant. Therefore, it's very important to understand cause and effect. Okay? All the near cause for the arising of the pleasant and unpleasant feeling are contact. Six types of contact. What are the six types of contact? Eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, and mind contact. No others contact. Only these six types. And this contact, because of contact, various feeling arises. Either pleasant or unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Okay. Then next, the third step. Before I continue, I have a question for you. Since you are born until now, have you experienced various pleasant feelings? Yes or no? Have you experienced various unpleasant feelings? Or have you experienced various neither pleasant nor unpleasant feelings? Okay. What you have experienced, these three types of feeling, are they still remain or already gone long time already? Gone long time. Already vanished, right? So what you experience already vanished, is it permanent or impermanent? Very good. Okay, so you say impermanent. Then when pleasant feeling arise in you, do you think it's impermanent? At the very moment, when you eat, let's say when you eat the food, the delicious food touch your tongue, you feel very pleasant. At that time, do you think of impermanent of your feeling? Yes or no? No. Why no? Just now you say impermanent. Just now I asked you, you have experienced all pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling. Are they gone already or not? You say gone already. And what have gone is impermanent. But now when a pleasant feeling arises in you, why you do not think it is impermanent? Huh? Ignorant? Someone? Hmm? What? What? Busy, okay. Busy eating. No time to contemplate. No time to contemplate impermanent. Okay, also one of the reasons. Huh?
Association.
What association? Okay, some other question? Huh? Self. Okay, so let me repeat the question. Since born, we are born until now, we have experienced various, numerous, we can say millions of pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And we also agree, all of us agree, that has gone already. Gone million times, right? So you already see it has gone. You already see them as impermanent. But why you still, when pleasant feeling arise in you, why you do not have the perception of impermanent? Which is very strange. What is the reason? Simply because when pleasant feeling passes away, you do not notice it. One. Secondly, you do not mark it as impermanent. Marking is very important. So when you eat something, food, although you are busy eating, but after that you still feel it's impermanent, gone already. What you enjoy during lunchtime, now already gone, right? But when it gone the time, we do not mark it as impermanent. And because we do not mark it as impermanent, it does not leave trace in our heart. It does not take root in our heart. Right? But if you experience, let's say when you experience pleasant feeling, then you mark it as impermanent, then you see gone. Then you mark it as impermanent again. Then it takes root in the heart. The second time, you see the unpleasant feeling, pain, pass away. Then you contemplate, oh, impermanent, vanishing, mechi. So you contemplate, gone, then it takes root in the heart again. Because you already marked it. What you mark, you can recognize, right? If you do not mark, how you can recognize? For example, a bird fly in the sky. You do not mark it as a bird, having a wings and small size flying in the sky. If you do not mark it as a bird, next time you see the bird, you will never recognize, right? Correct or not? Because you do not mark it when first time you see it. Similarly, when we experience impermanence of feeling, either pleasant or unpleasant, we do not mark it as impermanent or vanishing or passing away or anicca, whatever words that carry the meaning of impermanent. Therefore, it does not take root. It does not dip. It does not imprint in the heart. Because you do not mark, therefore it does not imprint in the heart. Because it does not imprint in the heart, therefore you cannot remember. Although you have already experienced million times of passing away of your pleasant feeling, of your unpleasant feeling. Right? When your pain arise in you, then you cannot stand the pain. You shift your posture, the pain gone already, right? But you never mark impermanent. Because you do not mark, that's therefore your perception of impermanent is not strong. It takes me many years to understand this point. Okay? Therefore, although we already experienced millions of times of impermanence of our pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling, and yet our perception of impermanence still not strong. Simply because we do not mark it as impermanent. Okay. Then the third step. Now, just now the second step is discern cause and effect. The third step is marking impermanent. So when a pleasant feeling arises, for example, when you taste the food, the moment the delicious food touch the tongue, you have pleasant feeling. What pleasant it is. So when that pleasant feeling arises, first step, you arouse your mindfulness, okay? Arouse your mindfulness to be aware of it. I have shared with you this one. Then secondly, you can discern cause and effect. Why this pleasant feeling arises? Previously, when my eye or when my tongue does not touch the food, there's no pleasant feeling, right? Only the food touch the tongue, then pleasant feeling arises. Previously, no pleasant feeling. Only the food touch the tongue, pleasant feeling arises. This means that pleasant feeling is the effect of some causes. There's tongue contact. So you see pleasant feeling as effect of a cause, not myself. Okay? Then third step. Because that pleasant feeling may remain. So in order to see it's vanishing, you have to contemplate or direct your mind to note vanishing, or passing away, or impermanent, or anicca, or wu chang, or mei qi, whatever words you like to use. So when you contemplate in that way, then it strengthens the perception of impermanent. When you mark it as impermanent or vanishing, it leaves the imprint in the heart. Oh, feeling is impermanent. Pleasant feeling is impermanent. Unpleasant feeling is impermanent. So it leaves the imprint in the heart. Next time you experience the same pleasant feeling, you know it's impermanent. Because you already marked it previously. You recognize this pleasant feeling is impermanent. When you can see this pleasant feeling is impermanent, your mind will not attach to it, right? Only when you see it is permanent, pleasant feeling is permanent, then attachment comes. But if you can mark it as impermanent and leave imprint in the heart, then next time even strong pleasant feeling arise in the heart, you will not attach to it because you already know it is impermanent. You already have the imprint in the heart that is impermanent. You got it or not? Yes or no? Okay, good. So when you mark it as vanishing, impermanent, this is called yoniso manasikara. Yoniso manasikara means wise attention. In Pali words, let me explain the meaning. Yoniso means origin or root or nature. Manasikara is attending, or paying attention. So paying attention to its root to its nature, to its origin. So what is the origin, the root, the nature of an object? Buddha says, sabbe sankhara anicca, sabbe sankhara dukkha, sabbe dhamma anatta. Right? All formations are impermanent. All formations are suffering. All dhamma are non-self. So this is the nature of all subject, all object. This is the nature of all sankhara. Is feeling sankhara or not? Yes, feeling is sankhara, right? Pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neither pleasant nor unpleasant, pleasant feeling, all these are sankhara. And Buddha said, sabbe sankhara anicca. All formations are impermanent. Therefore, the origin, the nature, and the root of feeling is impermanent. And manasikara, you need so manasikara. Manasikara means paying attention. So paying attention to the root of feeling, which is impermanent, which is vanishing, passing away, which is anicca. And this is called yoniso manasikara, wise attention, lurizuoyi. And if you are familiar with the sutta, you understand one of the factors to become sotapan. What is that? One, you know, to become sotapan, stream enterer, there are four factors. You have to fulfill these four factors in order to become sotapan, stream enterer. One of the four is yoniso manasikara. Exactly, precisely, is yoniso manasikara. So if you want to become sotapan and you do not know how to apply yoniso manasikara, that's still far away from becoming sotapan. Okay, another evidence to tell you how important to have yoniso manasikara is what Venerable Kotita asked Venerable Sariputta. So Venerable Kotita one day asked Venerable Sariputta very important question, which only few teachers mentioned this sutta. He asked, Venerable Sir, how do we regard formations? Formation means sankhara. How to regard formation in order to become sotapa? Isn't that very important? Because we come to practice in order to become sotapan, to become a noble one. So Venerable Kotita asks, how to pay attention to formations in order to become sotapan? 怎么去看待刑法才能够成为圣者? It's a very important question, right? Then Venerable Sariputta's answer is, the yogis should pay attention to all formations as impermanent, as suffering, as non-self. Exactly just now what I say. Pay attention to feeling as vanishing, vanishing, passing away, impermanent. Same thing. You also can pay attention to formation as non-self, non-self. But I want to teach you step by step. If I give you too much also, you cannot follow. Okay? So, yoniso manasikara is paying attention to all formations, including feelings, our mental state, or four elements, or pain, or whatever you experience in the mind and body. We pay attention to as impermanent, sometimes as suffering, sometimes as cause and effect, sometimes as non-self. This is called yoniso manasikara. And if you can, according to Venerable Sariputta, if you can pay attention to it in this way, as time matured, your wisdom become more and more mature, you will become sotapan. And what's more interesting is, he continued to ask, how to become the second stage of Noble One, Sagadagami. How to become a second stage of Noble One? Then Venerable Sariputta answered, same. What does it mean, same? What does it mean, same? Paying attention to all formation as anicca, dukkha, anatta, or vanishing, passing away, and so on. Same thing. Once you become Sotapan, in order to become a Sagadagami, it's the same method, same way of practicing. And to become Anagami, same thing. Pay attention as anicca, dukkha, anatta. Okay? Okay. Okay, so when you pay attention, they say when now you're experiencing pleasant feeling. So when you pay attention to vanishing, there are one important point you should bear in mind. This to the failure of my son, old student. Finally, he understands why he cannot see impermanent. Sometimes we pleasant feeling arise in us. We contemplate impermanent, but the feeling still really pleasant, right? Never impermanent. And sometimes we pay attention to the pain, unpleasant feeling, pain as impermanent, but it looks so permanent. Why? So my student also has this problem, faced this problem. So finally she comes out, she realized why she cannot see impermanent. This is a very important point for you to learn. Yeah? She said that because she is trying to pay attention to the arising and the static of that feeling. For example, pleasant feeling, the moment it arises, it's very strong, right? And when it lasts, when it's static, it's also very strong. So arising and static, these feelings are very strong. So she tried to pay attention to the arising and static and strong part of the feeling and contemplate impermanent. Doesn't match. Right? Because the time feeling is so strong and you're going to pay attention to it and not as impermanent, fail. You cannot see impermanent. So finally she realized, I should not pay attention to the arising aspect. Arising and static is strong part, the stableness of the object. If you pay attention to the stableness of the object, it's the permanent part, it's not the impermanent part. All formation have three stages, arising, static, and passing away. All formation, including four elements meditation, all type of feelings, and all mental state, your anger, aversion, jealousy, and so on. Now, all formations has these three stages, arising, static, and passing away. So if you try to pay attention to the arising, which start to get momentum, then if you pay attention while it's at static stage, then you cannot see impermanent. You need to pay attention to this when it becomes weak. When you become weak time. So at this moment, you pay attention to it as impermanent, immediately you can see impermanent. This is how my student learned. Then finally, she understand. And also, when you pay attention to the impermanent, you should not focus too strongly. Now, if you focus too strongly, also cannot. Your mind must be relaxed. You cannot say, I want to see impermanent. So, and open your eyes, see so clearly. No, it doesn't work that way. Okay? You have to relax your mind, and try to see the passing moment of that feeling. Because feeling is impermanent, sure, it passed away once. So you try to see the passing moment of that feeling, then you will see impermanent. So finally, she understand. Now she understand this point. Then she relax her mind and try to pay attention to the weak part, the moment of passing away. And suddenly she told me, the formation disappear, keep on disappearing, and to the extent only dissolution is passing away, until she gets so scared. So her experience is very useful for you to learn. First, don't pay attention to the arising and static phase. Because these two parts are strong part, stable. You have to pay attention to the weak part. Because everything has arise and passed away. So if you pay attention to the weak part, you will see impermanent very quickly. And also try to relax your mind when you contemplate impermanent. Don't focus too strongly. You focus too strongly to the object, mean the object becomes very stable. When it becomes stable, you cannot see dissolution. You cannot see vanishing. Okay, so these are the two important points that you should bear in mind when you contemplate impermanent. Okay, so let me repeat now. So when whatever pleasant feeling arises in the mind, first arouse your mindfulness, aware of it, aware of it. Pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling. The second step, you can investigate cause and effect, but cause and effect is not to investigate all the time. Once a while only. Once a while you investigate, but not all the time. Sometimes you can skip cause and effect first. If you want to contemplate, directly contemplate vanishing also can. But you also cannot skip. But other time you can contemplate cause and effect, but not all the time. Okay, so when you pay attention to the, you mentally note, mentally mark impermanent, impermanent or vanishing, vanishing, vanishing. Not reciting, okay? It's just not reciting, not only saying impermanent. You have to direct your mind. Direct your mind to see it's passing away. This direct the mind is very crucial, very important. One day, Anuruddha, Venerable Anuruddha, who is sight foremost in divine eyes. And he, his divine eye can see so far 100,000 beings. And he practiced so hard, but he cannot attain Nibbana. Then he asked Venerable Sariputta. Venerable Sariputta asked him to incline the mind. Incline the mind to the deathless. Therefore, this inclination, the mind to the passing away is very important. Finally, Anuruddha become Arahant due to the help of Venerable Sariputta. So the sentence of inclining the mind to see impermanent is very important. It's not only mentally note, passing away, no. You've got to incline the mind to see it's vanishing, then you can achieve it. So this is the task. So you should try to learn this method and put into practice while during retreat. So if you can grasp the technique well, then when you go back home, you will feel it so useful. So many of my students feedback to me. When this any emotion comes, they just contemplate vanishing, already gone. So they feel life is much better now. Please learn this method. Okay, thank you.